The show is being sponsored by Linda and Milton Frank in memory of Edith Flumentor, Ruth Pasiosko, Rav Shalom, and Hedy and Jay Richmond in memory of Estelle Richmond, Esther Basi, Bas Natalia, Rav Shalom. So we're continuing with some of the luckas concerning geiros, but not so much in terms of how to make someone into a geir, that we already pretty much gone through the shiurim. But we've been talking the last couple of weeks about, once we have a geir, what are some of the statuses in halacha? What are some of the unique relationships that we have with geirim in halacha? So one particular part of this sugya of geiros is the topic of shrara, is the topic of positions of authority. What positions can a ger have in the Jewish community? Because the highest level of position meaning the role of a melech. What's the role of a ger as a possible melech? Are the lower levels of position of authority? Try to learn through the sugyas of Sarara, particularly as they relate to a ger. Then we'll see some other ramifications, halacha ma'is, in terms of other issues of Sarara that come up more practical shadows la halacha. So the sugya begins in the first of the Ma'amakamos. The Gemara is commenting on a series of psukim in Parsha Shoftim, where the Torah tells us the Parsha of Melech, Psalm to Simalacha Melech, that you're supposed to appoint a Melech, one of the tag mitzvahs to appoint a king. And the Torah says quite clearly that the Melech has to be a born Jew. So the Torah interprets that to mean, it's obvious you cannot appoint a non-Jew to be a king. It means even if he's Jewish, but if he has to be a chicha, he has to be somebody who was born Jewish, in contrast to a ger. So even though a ger has full-fledged Kedushas Israel, nevertheless, the Gabi being a Melech, it's not enough to have Kedushas Israel. You have to be a born member of Klal Yisrael. In fact, Mahavil of Avdolos, this is where the founders of the country, founding fathers got the idea from, that was incorporated into the Constitution, that the president has to be born in the United States. That if you have a president who was born out of the country, so he's possible to be a melech. Where they dig up such a chesed from? So they got it. They learned Tanakh. So they got it from the Poskim Pasha Shoftim. So it comes the Gemara and says, Masechet Yevamos, that this halacha of Tzom Tzim Alecha Melech, that a melech cannot be a ger, this applies not only to the position of Malchus, but it applies to other positions as well. As the Gemara says in Yevamos, Taf Memhem Beis, in the first Memhem Kamos, Rava Achshel of Mari Bar Rochel, Umayni Bepursed Debovel. That Rava permitted the individual's name was Rav Mari Bar Rochel, he permitted him to be appointed to a certain position, a certain authority position in Babel. Clearly it wasn't the king position, it was some other kind of position of authority, leading some other group of people, and that was okay. Rava was machshir him to serve in that position of authority. The Avagav Yomar Ma, even though the halacha is Som Tosim Alecha Melech, Kol Mesimo Sheta Mesim Lo Al Yehu El Mishkar Bechecha, that the requirement of appointing Dafka a Ben Yisrael, a born Yisrael, to be a melech is not only true about a melech, but it's true about kol nesimos, all positions of authority. Rav Mari Bar Rochel was kosher. Why? Hakeim the imam Yisrael mikar b'chicha karina day. That although his father was not Jewish, as Rashi points out in the second of Maimonides, the Avi Kicham Abal Yisrael is half of that. His father was not Jewish, but his mother was Jewish. So al pi halacha, he was considered to be a Yisrael gomor vis-a-vis these halachas of Sarara. So again, we are equating the halachas of lower level Sarara to Malchus, but presumably what the Gemara is telling us is that someone whose mother is Jewish, Imam Yisrael, that's considered to be enough Kedushas Yisrael, that's considered to be enough born Jewish, so to speak, and would not pose a problem of Sarara. So there is a big machlekes that we're showing, and how do we understand historically this statement of Rava, that once a person is Imam Yisrael, so then it's okay, then we have no hesitations whatsoever. So there was machlekes that we're showing how to understand the following story that appears in the third of the Rav HaKamos. The Gemara Masechet Sotah, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us the famous story about Agrippas HaMelech. He was a king at the end of Bayesheni. He was a good king. But Agrippas HaMelech, Amad Vekiba Vekara V'Amad, Vekara Omen, I'm sorry, that the Mishnah describes how Hakel took place at the end of Bayesheni. So Agrippas HaMelech was in charge of Hakel. He was the Melech. He was reading from the Sefer Torah. So he stood up and he read the Sefer Torah standing, which was a Chiddush, because normally we assume that the king wouldn't have to stand up. It would be sufficient for him even just to sit down. But nevertheless, the Gemara considers that to be a Shevach. That was considered to be praiseworthy, that he stood up. The Shechu Chacham and the Chacham praised him. But when it came to the point of Losuchal Aseis Alecha Ishnachri, Zogu Einav Dema'os. So then all of a sudden he started to cry. So he read this pasuk about, which says in Pasha Shoftim, which is part of what you read in Hakel, about how presumably he was this qualified to be the king. So he got upset. So he started to cry. He's reading about himself. So Amaro, so the Chacham said to him, the people said to him, don't worry about it. Al Tashiari Agripos Achinu Ata Achinu Ata. He said to him, no, 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 you're not included in that pasuk. You're okay. You're one of us. You're our brother. You're okay. You're kosher to be a melech. So that was the end of the story. It was almost the end of the story. So that's at least what happened. That Agripos was reading these psukim, and apparently he thought that he was possible to be a melech, and then he was told that no, he's in fact kosher to be a melech. And that's where the story seems to end. So comes the Gemara, the 14th Ramah comes and qualifies it. Insult him, Amalek from a base, Tana, Mishmei, Rabbi Nosson, it was torn in the name of Rabbi Nosson. The Osa Shon is Chai, Busson, Yisrael, Koloya, Sheikh Nipo, Agripos. And at that moment in time, the phrase Shoni Yisrael, of course, is a euphemism. It describes Klal Yisrael. The Jewish people were deserving of to be destroyed at that point because they did a terrible, terrible aveira. What was the terrible aveira that they did? That they were machnes, that they flattered Agrippa Samelach. That means they told him something that was wrong. They told him Shalom Kedin. The halacha was that he was taka, possible to be a melech. So here they went ahead in a sense and they falsified the Torah. They went ahead and they said to Agrippa, don't worry, yeah, you're okay, because they wanted to find favor in Agrippa's eyes at the expense of telling him something which was not correct. In halacha. So the Gemara was quite critical about that generation, those chachamim, who were machnef to Agrippa. So it's clear from the Gemara's conclusion that Agrippa in reality was puzzled to be a melech, that he thought it was not supposed to be a melech. So the question is that really true or not? How do we understand that statement? So Tosus in the 5th of the Ramakomos in Yavamos and Hamadeis, those as close to Machlekes have shown him, just historically, what exactly was Agrippus' Yichus? Who exactly was he? So Tosfos quotes, came with you and me, Yisrael, and Kepach, and then Mekan Kosha, Lepirish HaKudras, that this Gemara contradicts Rashi. Rashi says, the Pirish Gelo Ne'amorim, can be Agrippus a Melech, she'amu lo achkinu ato, the Kama be Gemara, the Be'osa Shon, is Chaybus, and Em, she'esu akulay, she'chivu Agrippus, Lepirish HaKudras, Rashi there says, she'ka'u achinu, lefisha ha'isa imam Yisrael. Rashi says the reason why the people called him Achinu is because his mother was born Jewish. So Tosfos says, wait a second. Ulaperusha, am I Nanchu? Ha'aminacha came to Yimri Yisrael, Mechar B'chachamin Day. So Tosfos says, wait a second. That's the historical fact that his mother was born Jewish. So then why were the Chachamim wrong? Why did the Chachamim criticize? Why did the Gemara say that Klai Yisrael was Chalil almost destroyed because they flattered Agrippa? They didn't flatter him. They told him the truth. The truth was that he was Taka Kosher to be a king because his mother was Jewish. So Taisha says, you see that Rashi's pshat in the Gemara is not correct. So what is the pshat? So Taisha gives you a whole other historical story about what the background, what the family ancestry of Agrippa was, that in fact neither of his parents was Jewish. He was Taka a full-fledged Ger, and therefore he was Taka possible to be a melech. So a kopon, what do you see from Rashi? Rashi understood that even though the Gemara says in Yevamos that whenever it's Imam Yisrael, he's kosher to serve in positions of authority, serving as a king is different. That clearly, according to Rashi, there are two different halachas. There's a halacha of a melech. A melech has to be 100% kosher, belishim, sofek, no, just not just Imam Yisrael. It's got to be a born Jew on all sides, the father, the mother, everybody, the whole works has to be Jewish in order to be a melech. The only time that would make Imam Yisrael is only on other kinds of suraros. But Tosfos understood not that way. Tosfos understood that Imam Yisrael is an absolute heter gomer. As long as you're Imam Yisrael, you can be whatever you want. So I call upon him a technical detail, Rashi and Tosfos, but there clearly is a halacha of Kerabachecha. You have to have proper yichus in order to be a melech. There clearly is a halacha that you have to have proper yichus in order to be other positions of authority in Klal Yisrael. And then you have a technical detailed question, where do you draw those lines? Who exactly is considered to be kosher or not? So there is a question that fascinating, a question that the Kesef Mishnah raises concerning this halacha of Imam Yisrael, of Malchus, and Ger, what exactly a position a Ger could be, comes to Kesef Mishnah in the 6th of the Mamakomos and raises the following historical question. Just wait a second. He said, we usually think that in order to be kosher, to be a melech, so a person has to have really kosher yichus. He has to be, his father's Jewish, and his mother's got to be Jewish, or at least his mother's got to be Jewish. We have a question. Says the Kesef Mishnah, one of the very first malachim of Malchut Beis David was a man by the name of Rechavam HaMelech. Rechavam HaMelech was the son of Shlomo HaMelech. He was the one who, unfortunately, the whole Esaras HaShvatim broke away from. But Rechavim HaMelech was the next in line. It was David, Shlomo, Rechavim was the next in line, and he actually served as one of the Malchus Beis David, and the dynasty of Malchus Beis David continued through him. What exactly was his story in terms of Yichus? Who exactly were his parents? So we know one of his parents was Shlomo. We know the other one of his parents was a Gioris, was Nama HaAmonis. Pesach says explicitly that she was a descendant of Ammon. In fact, Rashi quotes in the Maamar Chazal that Rus, the reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu kept Ammon and Moab alive was because Rus was going to be a descendant of Moab, and Naamah was going to be a descendant of Ammon. So comes the Kesef Mishnah and says, wait a second, what's going on? How did Rechavim HaMelech become the Melech? The Kash on the Tanakh, the Kash on the Tzukim, the Kash on the whole Malchus Beis David, the whole dynasty, the whole Shoshalos of Malchus Beis David went through Rechavim HaMelech. Rechavim HaMelech was possible to be a Melech because his mother wasn't born Jewish, so he wasn't Ibam Yisrael. So comes the Kesef Mishnah with the following statement in the 6th of the Maamar Chomos, in Perek Aleph, Lachadal, Uchas Malachim, says the Kesef Mishnah, Ein Mamid HaMelech Bekar Gerim, Umash Malay the Rebusa Nachat Imo. Comes the Kesef Mishnah and says, when the Gemara says that your mother is Jewish, so then you're kosher, so says the Kesef Mishnah, that's a chiddush, that even if only your mother is Jewish, you're kosher. Mikol Shegeinu Maya Avim Yisrael, Kavachomer, if your father is Jewish, for sure you're not considered to be a ger. Because let's not forget, normally we determine a person's yichus based on his father. The only thing that follows the mother is whether you have kedushas Yisrael or not. But once you've ascertained that you're Jewish, now the question is whether you're a Kohen, you're a Levi, you're a Yisrael, you're a ger, whatever, which shevet you belong to, that always follows the father. So it comes against the Mishnah and says, if the Gemara tells us that if a person's mother is a born Jew, so he's ois ger, he's not called a ger anymore for these purposes. So kal v'chaymer ben benoisha kal v'chaymer, if his father is a born Jew, for sure he's considered to be a full-fledged Yisrael. He doesn't have that shame gear on him.
And his mother is also a Jewish.
Everybody's Jewish. Everyone's Jewish. Just the question is whether they're born Jewish or not. So if you have a born Jew, Jewish male, marries a Gioras, that child says the Kesef Mishnah is kosher to be a Melech. He says Kal v'chaymer is kosher to be a Melech. Madoch, if his mother's a born Jew, he's kosher to be a Melech. Kal v'chaymer when his father's a born Jew. And the chen kas v'tayis brach mitzvah chalitza. And now says the Kesef Mishnah, now we understand Rechavim's story. V'v'hochi nichali he'ach molech Rechavim to lohova imam Yisrael da ben nama amonis hava. So says the Kesef Mishnah, for years I've been wondering about this problem. How was Rechavim acceptable to be a melech? His mother wasn't Jewish. She was Jewish, but she wasn't a born Jew. So the answer is, it doesn't matter as long as his father was a born Jew. So according to this, you say the Kesef Mishnah, to be a Yisrael for the purpose of the Malchus, you have to have either of his Yisrael or Imam Yisrael. Either one of the two would be acceptable. But the Kesef Mishnah was bothered with the question. The Kesef Mishnah had to come up with a shtickle Torah to explain how we could defend the Malchus of Rechavim. The implication of the Kesef Mishnah is that the halachas of Kerev Achecha, the halachas of Ish Nachri, otherwise would have replied to Rechavim. If it could not for the fact that we were able to come up with a shtickle Torah to explain where Rechavim was kosher, it would have really been a good problem. So then Nebi Yehuda writes in the Tshuva, it's a strange Tshuva. Nebi Yehuda wrote 99% of the Tshuvas were written in Halach Lamaisa. This was not a Tshuva about Malchus Beis David. No one in Prague in the 1700s was asking Shaul Lamaisa about Malchus Beis David. But Nebi Yehuda wrote the Tshuva anyway. So comes in Nebi Yehuda and he addresses this Kesef Mishnah. He says, wait a second. This halacha, that the Torah tells us that there are very specific details as to who's considered to be a melech. You have to be not a ger, you have to be from this shevet, that shevet, you can't have all these details of who's considered to be a melech. Says in Nedi Yehuda, Zechora, one can suggest the following chiddush. These halachas are true, b'tchilas ha-malchus. These halachas are true when you first appoint a melech. Because the Torah says, just read the psukim, Som tosim alecha melech, mikerav achecha, losukha, loseis alecha ishnacha shalochichahu. So there's a mitzvah of minei melech. When you appoint the melech, when you start a dynasty to begin with, so then there are very specific guidelines. It has to be someone who's the Imam Yisrael, or Avi Yisrael, or both Yisrael, or whatever the details of the din of Avishnachri and Kerav Achecha are. But that's when these halachas kick in. Says the Nebi Yehuda, what if you already appointed a melech? 500 years ago they already appointed a melech. And now that melech had a son, and that son had a son, and that son had another son. We're 20 generations later, no one's appointing a new melech. We're not appointing a new melech now. We're just continuing. The malchus is going to be Arusha. So says the Nebi Yehuda, who says that any of these melechus apply? So maybe the whole premise of the question of the Kesef Mishnah was not correct. Because the Mishnah was barred with a kasha. Rechavim HaMelech had to be kosher to be a melech. Says the Mishnah, he didn't have to be kosher to be a melech. He was the biological descendant of Shlomo HaMelech. It doesn't matter whether he was kosher or not kosher. There's no such thing as not being kosher to be a melech, because no one was appointing him to be a melech. He was self-appointed. He was Yorish to Malchus rather than being appointed as a melech. So the Nedivuda takes issue with this Kesef Mishnah. Says the Nedivuda, how do I know such a yisoy? Where do I figure out such an idea? Where do I have precedence for this? That there's a difference in halacha when you appoint a melech in contrast to when a melech is Yorish to Malchus. So says the Nedivuda, I'll tell you the difference. The Gemara tells us that when you appoint the melech for the Malchus Beis David, there's a special halacha called Meshicha B'Shem and HaMishcha. You have to anoint the melech with the special oil that appears in Parshas Kisisa, oil that you would never use for any other purpose. If you would ever anoint somebody else with this oil, you would be chayav koresh. So you're not allowed to use this oil. So if there's a special halacha that you use this oil for the Meshicha Samach, that's Mamash Din Midaraisa, that's part of the halacha Moshe Messina, that you're permitted to use this oil to be Moshech Melachim. So comes the Gemara and tells us that when are you permitted to use this oil and when not? So the Gemara continues and says that we have the following tradition, that when you first start off a melech, let's say when they anointed David HaMelech, so Shmuel and Navi used the Shem and HaMishcha. But when they appointed king after king after king, son after son after son, from the Malchus Beis David, so there was no requirement to do the Shem and HaMishcha, and they didn't use the Shem and HaMishcha. Shem and HaMishcha is only when you first start a Malchus, not when you just continue a pre-existing Malchus. So the Gemara asks the question, but if you're looking at Sukkim and Melachim, you'll see that there were certain kings in the Malchus Beis David that they did anoint in subsequent generations. So the Gemara responds that each and every one of those anointings was all done because there was someone who was contesting the throne. Let's say in the case of Shlomo HaMelech. So in the case of Shlomo HaMelech, so Adoniyahu was fighting against Shlomo as to who was going to be the rightful king. So B'Briah Machlokos HaShem Adoniyahu, that's where they had to anoint Shlomo HaMelech. So what's the Gemara telling us? Alam D'Shavar. That whenever there's a fight as to who's going to be the next king, so when the Beis Din decides, when whoever decides who's going to be the next king, so when they read the instructions of the previous king, whatever it is, whenever they come to the decision who's going to be the next king, so that's considered to be like the Tchilas HaMalchus. That's considered to be like we're starting from scratch. So the halacha l'moshe nesime is that you're supposed to use the Shem and HaMishcha when you start off a dynasty. When you're just continuing from the last generation, then you don't use the Shem and HaMishcha. That's Mamash HaDin min HaTorah. So comes the Nedivuda and says, you see from here that the Torah itself, this halacha l'moshe nesime, as to when you use the Shem and HaMishcha and when you don't, built into this halacha l'moshe nesime clearly is the notion that there are two different types of kings. There's the king who's being anointed, who's being started off the Malchus, and there's the king who's just taken over. He was just inherited the job. So a king who was starting off a Malchus, then there are halachas that it has to be not a descendant of Geirim, they have to be Shem and HaMishcha, all Shtibul Torah. Whereas if he's being Yorish to Malchus, then none of these halachas apply. There's no Shem and HaMishcha, there's no limitation of Geirim, no limitation of Ben Geirim, the whole thing falls by the wayside. Therefore, the whole question of the Kesef Mishnah from Rechavam was never a question to begin with. So we have two very, very different approaches how to defend the Malchus of Rechavam. What's going on? At first glance, Rechavam was possible to be a Melech. So according to one shot, he was really kosher because his father was Jewish, was a born Jew. According to I don't care who his father and mother was, he was still kosher because he was Yorish to Malchus, so it doesn't matter what his particular yichus was in terms of Hilchus Geirus. The Michas Chinuch quotes this discussion about future Malachim from Beis David, where the which Malachim are going to need Shem and Mishcha and which not. So the Michas Chinuch throws out a very, very strange question. He says, what's going to be the din l'asa lavo? So the Melech HaMashiach is going to appear and he's going to become the king. Is he going to require Mashiach of Shem and Mishcha? So I'm wondering the question. Is Mashiach going to need Mashiach? That's the Shaila. Are we really going to have to be Mashiachim? Why is he called Mashiach otherwise? Are we really going to have to be Mashiachim of Shem and Mishcha or not? So he says, on the one hand, the halacha is that he's a ben back to David HaMelech, so there's no need to be Mashiachim. On the other hand, he says, is everyone going to accept him? So we hope everyone's going to accept him. Now we're in for trouble. So he says, if everyone accepts him, then Lechari shouldn't require Mashiach B'Shem HaMishcha. But he says, no, but since he's a descendant of the Ben HaChaben of David HaMelech, but the Aseres HaShvatim at the time didn't accept the Malchus Beis David. So now all the Aseres HaShvatim are going to come back, and they're going to start, we're going to have a new king of all the Klal Yisrael. So all the people who didn't accept the Malchus Beis David are going to now accept the Malchus Beis David. Maybe they need Mashiach for that. It's a strange, tremendous in science fiction kind of a shalif, a strange shalif. What's going to be the din, Me'eri Bana Mikdash, is Melech HaMashiach going to require Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha? So whatever the answer to that question is, I don't know, we'll figure out when the time comes. But the idea is correct, the Yesod is correct, that there's a difference in halacha between a starting off of a dynasty and continuing a pre-existing dynasty. The whole point of getting back to that story, in terms of Sarah, in terms of Gerus, so the halacha is that a ger has certain limitations, that a ger cannot be a melech, however you define a ger. Not only can a ger not be a melech, but a ger cannot be any other type of position of authority, a position of power of Sarah, which is sometimes hard to define, but exactly falls under that category or not, but there are certain positions of authority that a ger would be excluded from. Similar to this halacha, that there are certain limitations on a ger's ability to have positions of sarara, so the Rambam has a similar halacha in the 7th of the Maamar Kamos. The Rambam is in Hilchos Melacha in Perek Aleph Halacha Hey. This halacha is a lot more exciting b'zman hazeh than the ger story. But comes the Rambam and says, Eima midin isha b'malchus, shenema alecha melech v'lo malka. So the Rambam didn't make up this halacha. The Rambam is quoting from a sifrei. It doesn't appear in the Gemara. It appears in a sifrei on this pasuk. Shom tasim alecha melech. So the sifrei is a drasha, melech v'lo malka, that you're not permitted to appoint a queen to serve as the king figure, to serve as the person politically in charge of Klal. So that would be a violation of this din of melech v'lo malka. So that, again, that part the Rambam didn't make up. That part the Rambam got from the sifrei. But then the Rambam continues. The chayim kol mesimos shel Yisrael ein amana behem ela ish. And similarly, says the Rambam, not only are you not permitted to appoint a woman to be the queen, but you're not permitted to appoint a woman to be any other positions of authority in Klal Yisrael as well. Where in the world did the Rambam get this from? If it doesn't appear in the Sifrei, so the Rambam clearly put two and two together. He put together the Gemara Yevamos that we started this year with, together with the Sifrei. What did the Gemara Yevamos say? Gemara Yevamos says that even though the primary source, this pasuk, is referring to a melech, the pasuk is not really referring to other positions of authority, but Afa Pichein, the Torah Shabbat, tells us, Som Tasim Alecha Melech, Kol Mesimo Shatameisim, back to the first of the Maamar Kamos, Kol Mesimo Shatameisim, Al Yuel Mikerev Echechon, that any position of authority is like being appointed as a melech. So just as Legabe Hilchas Geirim, the Gemara clearly equates the two, so the Rambam made that jump, and the Rambam said, so too Legabe Hilchas Isha, Legabe, this other part of the story, Melech Velo Malka, we have a right to equate the two as well. Again, the Rambam's not a Tani, he's not making new drushes, the Rambam just combined the two drushes. The Rambam just says, in Hilchas Geirim, we equate other positions with the position of Malchus, also as the limitation of Geirim. So too, the position, the issue of an Isha of Malchus, also we equate other positions of authority to Malka as well, and this would also be presumably an Issa D'Araisa. So the Pashat Advarim is according to the Rambam, to appoint a woman in a position of whatever that means of authority. We're not sure exactly what that Sarar means, exactly what modern day application that is, but whatever would meet those criteria, according to this reading in the Rambam, would be a very real problem, presumably would be a real problem in HaTorah. The Rambam is quoting Tzukim for this. This is the real Issa D'Araisa. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that it's not clear that we really follow this Rambam. He says there is no source in the Gemara per se for this Rambam. The Gemara is talking about Geirim. There is no source. And it's a phrase for this Rambam. It's a phrase talking about Malka. It's not talking about other positions. It was the Rambam's innovation to put the two together. So Rabbi Moshe suggests that maybe other Rishayim disagree with this Rambam. So Rabbi Moshe tries to show you different permutations, different possibilities in Rishonim who may or may not accept this Rambam. So one of the Rishonim that also that comes into question whether he accepts this Rambam is a comment of the Ramban. The Ramban in Masechah Shavuos comments on something that all the Rishonim are bothered with the same question in different nuances. That's the pasuk really from this past Shabbos. I couldn't give Mishael there Shabbos, but part of this past Shabbos is Haftorah. So we read about the Haftorah of Devorah, so the Sukkim and Sefer Shoftim describe that she was Shoftas Yisrael, that she was a Shofet, that she was a judge. So there are two questions that the Rishonim deal with in terms of the ability of a woman to be a judge, to be a Dayan. One is just from the vantage point of, is she Kshayu to be a Dayan? Namely, we know there are certain limitations when it comes to Dinei Torah, that a woman is psul to be an aid. So according to most of the Rishonim, the simple reading of the Sugya in Maseches Nida is that whoever cannot serve as an aid cannot serve as a Dayan. So that's one whole dimension of the shadow. So Tosfos in a few places throws out that possibility. And Tosfos says, L'chaorah, it's impossible to understand the Pasuk of Pshuto that Devorah was actually a Dayanet, that she was actually a Shofetet, if after all, the woman clearly is Psulim in HaTorah to be an aid, that's the famous Gemara in Shavuot, the Mishnah in Shavuot, so by extension, she's Psulim to be a Dayan. So Tosfos discusses, if that's the case, that a woman is Psulim to be a Dayan, so then what in the world is the Pasuk talking about? So Tosfos gives you a few different reasons. Either that was there's a halacha in Hilchos Bayonos that if I have a person who's possible to be a dayan, but both Bali did want to accept him to be the dayan. Let's say we both trust my father, so my father's possible to be a dayan because he can't serve as a case that I'm on, so he's a karov to me. But if I trust my father, and you trust my father, so we can both be mekabel upon ourselves that he should serve as a dayan. So Taisa says in one answer, the stomach of that what was going on here also, that Devorah was really psula to be a dayan, but all the Bali did, she knew better than everybody else, so all the Bali did accepted her to serve as a dayan. Then Taisa gives other reasons. Another reason, another mahalchem, how to explain the Devorah story. So the Ramban raises the question. The Ramban says, forget about whether a woman is kshera to be a dayan in terms of Hilchos Eidos, in terms of Hilchos Dayanos, in terms of the psulim of the technical psulim of court cases. Ask the Ramban, isn't there a much more basic problem? Isn't there a problem of sarara? Isn't when you have a dayan, isn't that considered to be a position of sarara? Isn't that considered to be a position of authority? And if that's a position of authority, so shouldn't that in and of itself pose a problem for a woman to sit as a dayan on a case? That's the Ramban's permutation of the question. So the whatever answer Ramban gives, we're more interested in what the question is. So the Chora, the simple reading of the Ramban is that the Ramban is following like the Rambam. That the Ramban is understanding that this is also considered to be a Shar Sararos. A Dayan is not a Melech, a Dayan is Shar Sararos. It's a lower level type of authority. And Afa Pichain, the Ramban is questioning it. Afa Pichain, the Ramban is saying that Lu Yitzir Devorah would have been a real bona fide Dayan, that would have been a problem of Sararos. So Rav Moshe raises that question, Rav Moshe discusses, is that really true? It could be that a Dayan is actually closer to a Melech than other positions of Sararos. In fact, Rashi and Yavama says that. Rashi and Yavama quotes a pasuk, Melech Renishba Tayamid Eretz, that the primary role of a Melech is, in effect, to be a Dayan. That's what a Melech does. A Melech is supposed to be not the Dayan in the sense of the Sanhedrin. We already have the institution of Sanhedrin. The Melech, as the Rambam describes in Hilchos Malachim, is supposed to be like the extrajudicial system. That the Melech is able to do certain things that the Dayanim can't do. So we have a situation, the Rambam describes, you have a person, he's a Ratzeach. We all know he's a Ratzeach. And he's been killing people, everybody knows, but we haven't gotten him with Asura, we haven't gotten the Tu'ed, and we can't technically punish him based on the system of Beis Din. So the Rambam writes, so that's where the Melech kicks in. So the Melech steps up to the plate. The Melech says, I have a certain kaychus that the Torah gave me to be done, to do mishpat in the world, and I'm not bound by the limitations of Beis Din. I don't have to work with the regular column of Edom and Asura and Dishah Hakir and the whole story. If we know for a fact this guy's a Ratzeach, I'm allowed to take care of him in my own way. That's the role of a Melech. So a Melech and a Dayan are interchangeable. A Dayan and a Melech are very close roles to one another. So it could be the fact that the Ramban was concerned that lest a woman be a Dayan, that would be a violation of Melech v'lamalka. It's not necessarily an indication that the Ramban holds that it applies to Shas Sararos. It could be there's something very unique about the role of a Dayan that links the Dayan to being a Melech. So in the end of the day, we're not sure what the Ramban sheet about the Shaila is, but Rav Moshe does claim that it's a Machlokes of Rishonim. That the Rambam, although the Rambam is quite clear that a woman cannot be any position of Sarara, Rav Moshe is not convinced that that's the case. He leaves it's a Shaila, it's a soft place. He's not sure what the din is. The particular context of the children of Rav Moshe was the following. A question was presented to Rav Moshe about there was a certain Rav who was giving a hashgach. He was a Rav HaMachshir on a particular product store, whatever it was years ago. And the Rav was Niftar. And the question was, can his wife take over? That was the Shaila. Can his wife take over the hashgach of the Jew? So Rav Moshe tackled this question on two different levels. The first he said, well, does the wife have nemonos in the realm of kasher? So he said, what's the Shaila? Of course she has. When you go home, you don't eat, your wife tells you the chicken's kosher, you don't eat the chicken. Of course you will eat the chicken. But yeah, Tosis and Gittin writes, the whole mokor, for Erecha, Nem Bisurin, is learned out from Nida. Just as the Torah says that a woman is believed to say she went to the mikveh, so too the woman is believed to say she bought the chicken in a kosher place. So the fact that a woman tells you as a mashgicha, the fact that she's telling you that this food is kosher, that's not a shayla. Obviously she has nemonos. The question that Rav Moshe was bothered with is if she's serving as the Rav HaMachshir, so then she's in a position of authority. She could tell the Baal HaBas where to go. She could tell the Baal HaBas that if you don't do such and such, I'm going to yank your hashgacha. So she has a certain authority. She has a certain leeway over the Baal HaBas. So maybe that's a problem. Maybe that's considered to be a violation of Melech Lamalka. So according to the Rambam, maybe that would be a problem. So Rav Moshe is back and forth and back and forth. He's not sure what the din is. We have to be chashish for the Rambam, not be chashish for the Rambam. So the Rav Moshe writes, Rav Moshe, Shabbat Deir Aisa. We're not sure that anyone really disagrees. The Rambam quite clear that it's in a Shabbat Deir Aisa. So not so simple, not so fast to say that the woman can serve as a Rav HaMachshir. So Reb Moshe suggests that we should try to do is this particular case is, you should try to revamp it a little bit. You try to get somebody who's going to be a Rav HaMachshir. The woman will do the job, and she'll do the work. She'll do the work on the ground, she'll go do the rounds, and she'll report the problems. But the person who's going to have the ultimate authority of the Yank Tashkach should be a man. Because if you have the woman who has the authority of the Yank Tashkach, that may be a child of Melech Lamar. That's Reb Moshe's Eitzah to solve the problem. Anyway, I call upon him, getting back to our story. So we see that there are really two different areas of two different individuals who the Torah says we have to be concerned with in terms of positions of Sarara. So again, we're not sure what exactly constitutes Sarara and what not. We know Melech is for sure a Sarara. Dayan is a role of Sarara. Certain other lower levels positions of authority may also be a Sarara. When we're in the realm of Sarara, so then we have two different individuals we have to be concerned with. We have to be concerned about a Ger, and we have to be concerned about an Isha. How exactly do we define a Ger? So that goes back to some of the things we spoke about before. So we had the Chiddush in the Gemara that if it's Imam Yisrael, that's not considered to be a Ger for these purposes. Then we had the Chiddush of the Kesef Mishnah. Not only is Imam Yisrael good, but other Yisrael would also be potentially good, but then they viewed as Dichud back and forth. So again, the two halachas are clear. If there's a Din, some degree there's a halacha of Geirus as an issue of Sarara. To some degree there's an issue of Sarara when it comes to women as well. What the parameters of what's called Sarara and who exactly is included in these things are subject to some of the things that we have been speaking about.
Today we hear that women cannot like the presidents of shuls or so because of a sneeze.